One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're grateful you've tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio. Today on Abounding Grace, we are going back to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we really do engage today this great passage, chapter 14, that is dealing with and answering the questions of the Corinthians about tongue speaking. There's been so much interest in ecstatic speech, in the real stuff where people think spirituality is shown, and we've had a whole different variation of forms of this in the Christian church today, where people are looking for more excitement in the Christian ministry, and they get caught up in things that the Lord never designed the church to get caught up with. We're looking at that on Abounding Grace Radio today as we look at God's design for the ministry, understanding tongue speaking, what it was in the early church, what it was designed to be, what the abuses caused, and what we should be looking for today as most important is the clear exposition of God's Word. So important for us today. This passage takes on a lot of meaning for the New Testament church all throughout this present age, as we are always challenged to be conformed more to God's Word in the way that we worship Him and His ministry, that it would be not about us, but about the exaltation and magnification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us decrease and let Christ increase. And all the listeners, I hope, just said, amen. You can call us at 1-888-504-8805, 1-888-504-8805, agradio.org is the web address. Again, agradio.org. Podcasts are all there for you, maps to churches in your areas. Download them. Let us know there. There's a form to fill out there so that you can write to us and encourage us about how Abounding Grace Radio is blessing you. And if you are able to support us, we thank you for that. And want to remind you that all of that support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. So now, here is the message from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which I've titled, Worship with Reverence, Awe, and Understanding. You'll notice over and over in that section that Paul's great goal here in the church, and to emphasize to the church, is that little phrase that the saints would be built up. You can sort of get that there in the issue of tongues in verse 19, the emphasis when he says, I would rather speak five words with understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. My goal in the church, says Paul, is for the building up of the body. He's been working to get here. I realized this week how important this is for the life of the church. He has been really building to get here. And his entire point is to say that what we do in the life of the church as members of the body of Christ and the motivations behind our actions are not meant and should never be about us, but should be done with a denial of ourselves. This is all over the New Testament. For the edification of the body, God gave you gifts, and you should use those gifts for the exalting of Christ and edifying His body, the church. The problem that we've been looking at in Corinth is that we're all incredibly selfish. And we look at the church and almost universally we hear people say today, well, I don't like this, and the church doesn't do this, and it's not the needs that I've determined are best for me. It has nothing to do with the marks of a true church, by the way. It's what I've determined for me and what I like and what I don't like, and my involvement is conditioned upon how I feel. I don't like this or I don't like that. That's how we approach church, and it looks nothing like the way that the Lord calls us to approach the church. Paul has presented to us a theology of gifts. He has explained how the body functions, how God fits together every member of the body, and every member is vital to the whole being fit together by God himself. God fits together this body and gives members gifts to use in the body. And that everything Paul has led up to should be controlled by love, controlled by that great pursuit of love. God taught us this. We understand love. 1 Thessalonians said, God taught you love. He taught you love as we understand the love shown to us in the cross of Christ. We look at him sacrificially denying himself, taking up his cross and dying for us. He laid down his life. He loved us. And that is the excellent way, the best way, that should drive all of our actions in the church. Love. Love. Love that is sacrificial. And looking to the interests of others and never being a stumbling block. And the way that what he was really doing here in chapter 13 was reprioritizing the life of the church and motivating the church in Corinth, saying that the excellent way of love should be your chief pursuit. And then everything else will be controlled by that, will go well. Why? Love's permanent. Love continues into eternity. Love goes right on into eternity. These other gifts are temporary. When you exercise love and you demonstrate love, you're doing something that has eternal value. And he said that. He said, knowledge and prophecy, they will be brought to an end when the perfect comes. We looked at that. When Jesus comes and the state of glory, and when there's things that are now perfect, when that state comes of perfection, then you will no longer need prophecy. You will no longer need knowledge. And then he said something really powerful last time that led into our text tonight. He said, tongues, using a different verb, will just stop. Knowledge and prophecy will pass away when the perfect comes, but he offset tongues and he said, tongues will stop. Like a battery, runs out. Paul knew it was soon to run out. The universal witness of the church is that tongues died when the apostles died. We looked at that last time. Now, this was the issue. We're back to it. This is his final answer to it. The issue went something like this. Back in chapter 7, they wrote to him about certain struggles they were having in the church, and I put it together in my own. I realize this is somewhat a guess here, but putting the data together, this seems to be close. Paul, we know tongues is a gift of the Spirit. We know at Pentecost it was known languages. But we're confused as to what's happening in Corinth. There's all this ecstatic speech going on. It's dominated the life of the church so that everyone's interested in it and caught up in it. We come to worship and things have become chaotic. Things have become confusing. Is that what tongues is meant to be? What do you understand with regard, Paul, to this issue of tongue speaking? It's taken the cake here in Corinth, this gift. Now, I believe he gets to that answer tonight. He said last time, tongues will stop. They will cease. They will just be done. But what he does at this point is explain its place, because it is still in operation at this time, explain its place in the life of the church in Corinth. He explains then its place, its purpose, and its proper use.
its place, its purpose, and its proper use. The key to understanding this is to appreciate that what they were doing when they came together for worship, and this section is on worship, they came together and there was massive confusion in the worship services. Why? Because their practices were being borrowed from the known pagan practices of Corinth, the city of Corinth. I mean, this is so relevant for today. This is just unreal how relevant this is for today. This section is God's great concern that worship should have order and should promote, and here it is tonight, if you're taking notes, this is the real big one. Worship should have order and it should promote understanding. The exact opposite was happening in Corinth. If you traveled to first century Corinth, we've looked at this somewhat, there were a variety of different temples. And in these mystery religions, you had a host of what the Old Testament called diviners or soothsayers who claimed to be in contact with the gods of the culture. Here was the link. They claimed in the use of what was known as ecstasy through ecstatic speech to be able to commune with the gods in the language of the gods. They claimed to have direct lines of communication. By the way, almost every pagan religion has some kind of form of glossolalia or tongue speaking. It was not just a Pentecost phenomenon, although the Pentecost phenomenon was known languages, but it was all confused and mingled up with the pagan practice of glossolalia. So the expression of ecstatic state or ecstatic speech took all sorts of different forms in the first century. You had people gnashing their flesh at times. You had people dancing in nude in a frenzy. You had people speaking in ecstatic utterance. They even called, and here's something fascinating, they even called this religious experience, eros. Not the word for love that Paul chose. Eros is the word that has a sexual connotation. Paul chose the word for agape, which is sacrificial love for what's going on in the church. The worship services were chaotic. The worship services were wild. And so you had prophets and prophetesses that claimed to speak in tongues and they get up and they weren't doing anything of what the New Testament phenomenon and design of tongues should have been as known languages. They were doing gibberish. They were doing ecstatic speech, out of control stuff. And I've always thought that our understanding of tongues has to be controlled by Acts 2. I don't think Paul's presenting something different in 1 Corinthians 14 from Acts 2 in his understanding of tongue speaking. Remember what happened at Pentecost. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. These are the apostles. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, known languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And the sound of a multitude came together, and they were bewildered. Why? Because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. This would be like Pastor Gordon speaking Dutch tonight, and I can't speak Dutch. And if somebody didn't speak Dutch in the church, and I started doing that, somebody would have to get up and interpret for the ones that didn't understand Dutch. This is what it was. Whatever was happening in Corinth was a severe departure from this. The design would be that someone would be given the gift to speak in the language, and the gift of interpreters would be given, and the other person then would understand. The other people in the congregation would understand it. That was the goal. That's why you needed interpreters. It wasn't dub-a-dub-a-dub-a-dub-a-dub-a-dub. I don't know what tongue sounds like, but I've heard people try to do that. That's gibberish. That has no profit to you. And I've heard that in churches, by the way. I've heard that. So they thought that the super spiritual people were doing this heavenly language and communicating with the gods. And Paul is regulating this whole thing. Paul is regulating this whole thing. He's not condemning the gift, even though he knows the battery will stop soon. But he's correcting the manner in which the gift is being used by explaining the intention with which God gave it. So in chapter 14, in the first five verses, he explains its place in the church. Notice what the first thing he says is, pursue love. And then earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And this is a real shot. It's a dig. Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him. This is a big emphasis. But he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. I said earlier, I thought this would be a hard section. I think it's really simple. I want you in the life of the church to pursue love. Actively go after love. Sacrificially love one another. But I know you're so wrapped up in what you think are the super excellent gifts, especially tongues. Okay, here's then what you should know. If you want to earnestly desire something, if you really want something in the life of the church, here's what you should want. Here's where your value should be. Here's where all your emphasis should be. Here's what you should really want to see happen in the church. You know what it is? It's not tongues, it's prophecy. And then he says, if you're speaking in tongues, you may be communicating truth that's revealed. But only God understands that if no one else understands you. What good is that? What good is it if no one understands what you're saying because there's no interpreter? Only God understands it. You may be speaking mysteries. You may be speaking the truth. But what good is it if only God understands it? It's not designed for you off in the corner. All gifts are designed, chapter 12, for the common good of the body. You've taken your gift and you've made yourself a star. That's never the intention. You're performing it then without love. Because your aim is not the upbuilding of the church. Now don't miss what he says in verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. I want you all to speak in tongues. I wish you all were given the gift that the apostles were given to speak in tongues. But even more, I wish you were all given the gift to prophesy. You're not, but I wish you were. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. There it is. So that the church may be built up. Now, I believe Paul has Numbers 11 on his mind. Remember that? The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now, two men remained in the camp, one Eldad and the other Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. In other words, they didn't get the training. And they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. And Moses said to them, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. I wish everyone could preach the gospel. That's what you all should be after. Paul says, I wish everyone could so clearly communicate the truth. Now that just goes to show that all the ecstasy and whatever they had borrowed from the culture was wrecking the design of the gift of tongues that was supposed to be for the common good. And I have to say that if that's true and you accept this, it really does judge the practice of introducing into the church a bunch of people speaking in what nobody else understands, a heavenly language, as disruptive, as arrogant, as unloving, and as insulting to the common good of the body. They were even so arrogant to say that if you didn't speak with tongues, some of them, you weren't saved. I walked into a church years ago and saw this. Pastor asked everyone to pray, and then chaos started. And all of it was gibberish. And I was freaked out. I was really scared. I had never heard anything like that in my life because it was unknown. Does the Lord value that? That's not the intention of tongues. You had the apostles taking the gospel message to the ends of the earth. You say, what was the good of tongues? It was a help to those apostles when they took the message out to the ends of the earth in the Acts model there as it went out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And all of those different languages they came across, the Spirit came upon them and gave them to speak in those languages. And as you had a mixture of different languages, interpreters were needed. And this is why Paul's saying the far more superior gift is prophecy. You say, what is that? Well, whether it was a special gift of the early church or whether we understand it as just the preaching that we enjoy today, it doesn't matter. Paul is saying something really clear here. Prophecy is the clear making known of the Word of God. Clear, simple, plain, teaching and preaching the Word of God. That's what you all should desire. It's sad in the days before the Reformation that services and readings were in the language the people could not understand. And that common people weren't even allowed to have a Bible. And that the great gift of the Reformation, and we owe a lot to our Reformed heritage. We shouldn't be embarrassed about it. The great gift that God used the Reformation for was to hand you back the Bible in your own language so that you can read it. And that preaching services were then reinstituted and the common preaching of God's word, lectio continua, that means through books of the Bible, was brought back and a Reformation ignited. Paul says that's what we should be after. That does something far greater than somebody who's speaking in tongues that no one understands. God gave that gift alongside the gift of interpreting for that reason. What has been the great struggle in the church of our day? Well, are we so far off from this? Where's the least interest today? What is it like fighting to get people to do? To come listen to the preaching of God's word. Is that really valued today? You get a little more than an hour a week of prophesying. A little bit more. And when it comes to, 30, 40, 50, 60 minute sermons. Paul says that's what God wants for you. It pleased God to save you that way. And we've dumped, in most cases, the evening service, and it's just become a dwindling down to nothing. That's what you should desire. That's why, boys and girls, this is the center of our worship. That's why this pulpit is the center of our worship. That's why prophesying, preaching the Word of God is the center of what we do. That's why we have this conviction. It's not just something that we dreamed up. It's something that God knows and has determined is best for you. And God said it everywhere in the New Testament. God said he gave preachers and he gave us one specific mission and mandate. You preach that word in season and out of season. And you don't stop. Wherever you see the church diminishing, you see preaching. And interests and practices that no longer edify the body. You understand that? Wherever you see the church diminishing, you see preaching diminishing. And instead, replacement of interest and practices that no longer edify the body, but promote spectator worship. You're worshiping right now. Did you know that? You're not spectators. You're worshiping by paying attention and giving your hearts to receive God's bread. You know what William Perkins used to say? It used to bother me so much, I hated repeating it. A true preacher is one in a thousand. A true preacher is one in a thousand. You should pray that the Lord of the harvest raises up preachers and value those training preachers. Now, Paul drives home that everything in the church should promote understanding.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.